This program is pre-recorded.
This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Good morning, and thanks for joining us so much for Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Glenn Leverin's in for John today, and happy to have you along as well. One of the problems we have, and I think that leads to so much conflict, which seems so popular anymore, is the lack of really listening to one another. We'll talk about that need to really do that, to really be present to one another, be willing to be strong enough in our ideas to listen to some others as well. Harry Kramer joins us before the hour is through. We'll do another one of those Glenn Story Corner things before we get to the top of the hour, and we start off this hour, as we so often do on a Monday, with the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. He's a regular contributor to Relevant Radio and a former college baseball star. We love that. Also a chaplain of the Chicago Cubs, if he hasn't been traded yet. Father Burke Masters joins us. Father Burke, great to have you along today.
Good morning, Glenn. Always good to be with you. Yeah, I had somebody text me after the trading deadline. They did ask me if I got traded along with everyone else, but... Yeah, the Cubs did a big overhaul this past week. So, but as far as I know, I'm still the chaplain of the Cubs.
Well, very good. You haven't been traded from Relevant Radio. We've still got you on our team, and we appreciate that very much. And my local club as well, the Minnesota Twins, kind of had the same program as the Cubs, unloading a lot of the current stars to look to rebuild, since this year didn't turn out as hoped at this point. And it is interesting. There's a lot of baseball season left, and you know, so here's wishing good luck to those rebuilding, and those of you with clubs that are still in it, enjoy that, because not everybody gets to. But nonetheless,
yeah, I was at a retirement party on Saturday, and there was a table full of Cub fans, you know, and it was almost like a funeral. It's hard to see your favorite players go. You know, it's baseball is also a business at that level, and it's very, very challenging, but, at the same time, you know, they did this, you know, back around 2000, I don't know, 11 or 12, and it led to a national or a World Series championship in 2016 for the Cubs. So we'll see what happens. It's not, you know, you get attached to your favorite players, and, you know, to see like Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez all hit home runs in their first game for their new team, something that's never been done before. I said three players who started with the same team hit a home run in their first game with the new team. But it's life is full of change, and we have to adapt and continue on, right?
Well, also a great chance to pick up, you know, your favorite former Cubs T-shirt at a regular T-shirt price, perhaps, over the next few days. Some of that inventory no longer has quite the same meaning it did just a few short days ago. We're going to talk today with Father Burke about men as being good role models, and how young men really need men as role models. And, you know, as we happen to talk about that baseball trading deadline and the dismantling of a few of our favorite teams a little bit too, by way of that, those are maybe can be some tough times for these players. I mean, on the one hand, they might be, you know, getting a chance at a better future financial deal with a new team if their previous club didn't think they could afford to pay them. And of course, no Major League Baseball player is starving. They really are not. But in terms of being traded and moving the situation, you know, it's a challenge sometimes for players who didn't want to be traded, for families that suddenly find themselves going in a new direction. There was a Twins pitcher, Jose Berríos, who's been in a couple All-Star games, who was dealt away and talked about how his he and his wife and kids had a little bit of a cry upon moving. They had settled and enjoyed, you know, the community that they were in. On the hockey scene in the NHL, Minnesota Wild let go a couple players a couple weeks ago that had been with the team since about 2012. One at least promised to the fans with thanks for years of support that when his playing days were over, which would continue with the Dallas Stars now, that he'd be moving back and retiring in Minnesota, and if that happens or not. But players do make those connections. So the long way to say, Father Burke, when we have some of those upending struggles in life too, something as tumultuous as a move, that can be a very important time to be a good role model and a good example of handling uncertainty.
It is, you know, what we're seeing, you know, right now at the trade deadline is kind of a microcosm of what can happen in our lives. And I was fortunate growing up. We moved twice, but it was within the same school district. And, you know, I didn't experience what some do. You know, people that grow up, maybe their father or mother was in the military and they'd moved around a lot, and it was hard for them to continually, you know, build new relationships and find new friends and find new role models. That can be a big challenge in life. And so it is important when we're going through those, you know, changes, that especially for our children, to have some rocks for them to hold on to, a foundation. And it begins in the home. You know, the best, if we're talking about, you know, male role models today, that we as dads, so as I'm a spiritual father, those are biological fathers, those who maybe not have any children or be a priest, but they still can be a role model. And so many young people today, especially as we're talking today specifically about boys and men, the boys need good role models that they can watch, that they can imitate. Because if we don't know, if we don't have any of those kind of role models, we don't know even what it looks like. If we didn't have, you know, good role models, maybe as parents, if we don't find it somewhere else, we're going to kind of look for that. Where are we going to find it, you know? And this world is all too eager to give us bad role models. But we need more St. Josephs out there, more men who are willing to mentor young men into manhood.
Father Burke Masters, our guest for this segment of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio, talking about the need for role models, especially for young men. Is that need for a role model, Father Burke, kind of like a vacuum that'll be filled one way or the other? If it's not a strong father in the home, on the far other end of the spectrum, young men can try and find those role models in all the wrong places.
Definitely. You're going to look for it. You're going to look for that place where you feel loved and cared for. You know, there have been studies on, you know, gangs, and it's really young men looking for that place of feeling loved and accepted. And so the more that we have that in the home, the more that we, you know, I had a great father. I'm blessed and fortunate. Wasn't perfect by any means, as no fathers are. But I also found myself looking for, you know, somebody outside the home as well. And I was blessed to have a lot of great coaches and teachers, and one of them eventually became my godfather, one of my high school teachers and coaches. You know, because I was baptized at the age of 18, I could choose my own godfather, and that's actually whose retirement party I was at this Saturday. And so, I think we all need those men in our lives who you can look up to and say, I want to be like him. I want to grow up and be a man of integrity. And, you know, and I say my dad taught me those things, and people outside the home as well. So as you say, we're going to find role models. And if we don't have good examples, we're going to find plenty of poor examples out there. At our Catholic baseball camp last week, Trevor Williams, who was one of the ones traded from the Cubs, he went to the Mets the day after the camp. He was asking the kids, who are your heroes? You know, and you know, they all were talking about their favorite baseball player. And they said, who are your saint heroes? You know, who are the saints that you look up to and say, I want to be like them. I want to grow up and emulate these characteristics of the saints. And so I think it's important for us not only to have those role models that are living and, you know, we can watch them today, but also some of the great saints that our church has had, men and women like me and you who, you know, are human, who are sinners, but lived out heroic virtue in the midst of, you know, a world that can be challenging.
This is something I've enjoyed a little bit here, and I always thought this was kind of important as well. But being an empty nester, we still have that opportunity to be an influence for good in the lives of other young people that we're not related to. Talk a little about the importance of populating a world for kids with adults, even those that aren't in their own family, that can be good, healthy influences.
Yeah, I think if you're in that situation, you know, empty nesters, you think, okay, we've done our jobs now. Obviously, you're always going to be a role model for your own children, whether they're in your home or moved out. But to look for those opportunities as well, like, again, it's fresh in my mind because we just had the baseball camp, but we have some men in this camp who are, you know, coaches that are empty nesters, but they can still be incredible role models, not only for the kids, but also for other young parents who are, you know, learning their way and saying, you know, what does it mean to be a good husband and father? What does it mean to raise these children today? And so the church offers lots of opportunities like that, but also, you know, in the workplace, you know, you know, wherever we go, there's opportunities to be role models. I was just thinking about, you know, there's been some athletes, and one that I remember distinctly was Charles Barkley, you know, who said, I'm not a role model, and I don't want to be a role model. Well, that's not our choice, you know. If we're put into a position like he was, of fame and, you know, a great basketball player, people are going to look to you as an example, whether you like it or not. And we're really on to be examples for these young people, you know, whether we're, you know, in the spotlight as professional athletes or as husbands and fathers or people in the workplace. People will follow our example, whether it's for good or for ill, and we're responsible for that. And the Lord says, you know, whoever leads one of these little ones astray, you know, would be better had a millstone be, you know, put around your neck and thrown into the water. That scripture always haunts me to say, I don't want to be a bad example. I want to lead people into virtue and to holiness, for people to desire to be saints.
Talking about being good role models to our kids and the importance of a healthy male role model as well. Talking with Father Burke Masters today on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you have some good examples of some adult who made a big difference in your life and you'd like to share that to inspire others, we'd love to hear from you again at 888-914-9149. At the same time, we talk about the importance of a variety of role models being strong in the lives of young people. Father, the stats about the lack of a father in the faith life of a child is just amazing. As much as moms so often drive participation for the family in church, that survey that came out now several years ago that spoke of the need for the father to persist in being there each and every week had the biggest effect on whether kids would continue past high school.
Yes, that study is staggering, isn't it? You know, as you said, most of our moms and wives do an amazing job of, you know, raising the kids in the faith and, you know, taking the kids to church. But statistically speaking, the biggest impact on whether a child will practice his or her faith as an adult was the example of the father. And if it's important to the father, if he goes to church, if he is a good role model in the faith, the chances of their kids practicing their faith as adults skyrockets. And so I want to honor the women, the moms out there who are doing all they can. And I want to challenge the men to, you know, to step up and to say, you know, this is important. I always talk to parents and say, you know, where do we invest our energy? So we'll get up at, you know, 4 a.m. to take our kids to a baseball game, you know, a travel baseball game in another state. We'll get up early to go golfing. We'll get up early to do lots of things. But boy, to find an hour to go to Mass and to help people, help our children, you know, come to know Jesus Christ and to be followers of the Lord, to be disciples, that can be a challenge. And so the men who are listening really want to challenge you to say, we need to step up and to be St. Joseph's in our home, to lead our children to come to know Jesus. It's the greatest thing that we can share with our kids, whether they become baseball players or, you know, mathematicians or scientists. All those things are going to fade away. When we get to heaven and come face to face with the Lord, He's not going to ask us, you know, how many home runs we hit. He's not going to ask us, you know, what was our grade point average. And those can be, you know, great things. But I think He's going to ask us, how much did we love and do we know Jesus? Did we live out the faith that has been handed on to us? And so may we invest time in what is most important, not neglecting the other things. I'm not saying any of those other things are bad, but what is most important? What's going to matter for eternity, not for just our earthly lifetime?
Father, as we talk about that great need for great role models, especially for our young men in having a strong father in the home, and as much as we want to lift up those examples of a happy husband and wife that have a large, happy Catholic family, that is not always the case, you know, nearly as much as might be optimal. Even amongst faith-filled folks, there are many families out there with only maybe it's a mom and a bunch of kids. And what are some ways we can bring some healthy male role models into that situation?
Yeah, how do we find good role models? And like I said, I had good role models at home, but I also look for them in the classroom. Ironically, this morning I'm going to be giving a talk to 80 of our new Catholic school teachers in our diocese. And this is one of the things I'm going to be talking about is, you know, not only what they're teaching, but being living role models for these children. Teachers have one of the most powerful impacts on children, teachers and coaches. You think about, you know, teachers have almost as much contact with the children that they're teaching as their parents do during the school year. And so for us as teachers and people who are put in those positions of being role models to not to put extra pressure on ourselves, but to just be aware, while it's not always just what I'm saying, but it's what I'm doing that's going to impact the lives. You know, children watch what we do often more than what we say. And as young people, I think it's always looking for those good role models out there, those people that I can look up to and say, I want to be like him or her. You know, there was something going viral from the Olympics, a young woman who, I believe it was like she won a race in the hurdles. And in her interview, she said, you know, I give all glory to God. Everything that I do is to give honor and glory to God. That's the kind of person, you know, I would want my children to follow, to say, see, even though she reached this pinnacle of winning a gold medal in the Olympics, she knows that it all is a gift. All is a gift from God, and so, so I think we probably have mainly adults listening. So look for those opportunities to be a role model, but also, I think to bring our children around, I keep plugging our Catholic baseball camp, but things like that. Bring people around, other men and women. And you say, I want my kids to emulate these people. You know, and if you're on a sports team, or you're in an area where, boy, these people are not being good role models for my kids, you know, maybe you need to make changes to say, I need to find those places where my children know these are the kind of people I want them to grow up to be like.
Father Burke, just thinking back a little bit among the comments we've had for this portion, with Charles Barkley saying as a star basketball player at the time that he didn't want to be seen as a role model. But the truth is that we have people, especially young people, looking at us, watching what we do, whether we're trying to portray an image of one sort or another or not. People are watching. Our young people are watching, especially our kids are watching. So we always need to realize that, again, we're being watched, and not that we ought to think, oh, we got to worry because we're being watched. If we can just live a good life as we ought, we don't need to worry as we're being watched. But to realize that, like it or not, as an adult and especially as a parent, part of that role is being a role model.
Yeah, this was driven home to me. A few months ago, I went over to a family's house for dinner, and after dinner, they have four boys. Their youngest boy asked if he could celebrate Mass for us in the basement. And mom said, she kind of looked at me like, sorry about that. I'm like, no, this will be great, you know. So the whole family and I, we went down the basement. He had the, you know, basement set up like a mini church. And they had one girl as well. So the little girl was the organist. And it was interesting as he kind of, you know, celebrated Mass, you know, I put that in quotes for us. It was amazing. Like I knew that he was doing things that may be unique to me as a priest celebrant. And I thought, wow, he's watching everything that I do. And so that was a real kind of wake up call for me to say, wow, people are watching, even the little ones. And then just yesterday after Mass, one of the dads came up to me and he said, you know, my son was at the baseball camp last week. He got up this morning early to go to church. He got up an hour early to read from one of the Gospels because I was challenging him to read the scripture. And the dad said, I can't believe it. You know, my son, who's usually the last one to get ready for everything, got up early to pray before going to Mass. And I thought, whew, you know, these things... The kids are watching. The kids are watching. They're listening, and they're wanting to follow the good role models that are out there.
Oh, they certainly are, and let us continue to be those good role models. And should our role models be traded away, we can talk about faithfulness next time and still cheering for your favorite team. Thank you so much, Father Burke Masters, joining us this morning. Up next, we're going to talk with Harry Kramer about the need to really listen to one another. So keep listening to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's Gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Matthew, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and verses 10 through 14. Some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat a meal." He summoned the crowd and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters one's mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth is what defiles one." Then his disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He said in reply, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us for Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Glenn Leverin's in for John today. Happy year along. We'll do our story corner before the hour is through. So much conflict in the world today, and not only as we look at the news and some of the big stories out there, but maybe in our own lives as well. Maybe this last year and a half, couple years, whether it be the election season, everything related to COVID and whatnot, it seems that conflict and not really listening to one another is almost a new pandemic, and that we have a hard time tolerating listening to others' opinions. We want to get ours heard, that's for sure. But we're going to talk about the importance of listening and really listening. We're going to do that with our next guest, a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management. He teaches in the MBA and executive MBA programs, also an executive partner with Madison Dearborn. Happy to have along once again, Harry Kramer. Harry, great to talk to you.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Hey, doing well. How's your summer going so far?
Great, actually. Very, very good. It's despite all of the tremendous issues with the pandemic, and we know there are many, it is a time to spend more time with family and less travel for many, many people. So it's been good with Julie and the five children. So all good.
Very good. As we kind of get back together a little bit more after we hope the main part of COVID is winding down, but still worried about that Delta variant a bit. Maybe we're talking and getting reunited with one another a little bit more. Maybe we're back physically in the workplace and we have to listen to one another face to face. But today we're going to talk about that need to really listen to one another. And it can play out in big ways, Harry, in terms of whether we're willing to debate about the important things in our personal lives or encourage our legislators to do that, or whether we're even present in front of that person right in front of us for just regular conversation or business conversation, and what a difference that can make. Harry, are we getting, I guess on the more innocent side, just kind of lazy about being good listeners and being present to people right in front of us?
Glenn, I think you're absolutely right. With so many things going on and so much anxiety and pressure and people having very, very strong opinions, I see more and more this lack of an ability to truly understand the perspective of others. There's one line that I've heard, which I always thought was interesting, where somebody said, life is much simpler when you only understand your side of the story. And I think sometimes, Glenn, we're so anxious to explain our view that we really don't take the time to understand the view of others. And I think that's something that God has always asked us to do, of literally to love one another and treat one another respectfully. And we may disagree, but let's at least listen to one another. And the example I use in class a lot, Glenn, is if you and I are talking, you and I are having a discussion, and you think that the answer is that we go east on a topic, and I really think we ought to go west. Well, I want to spend so much time convincing you why the answer is west that I never really listen to you at all. And I kind of view it as, okay, if you think it's east, I want to really truly understand, Glenn, why you think it's east, really for three reasons. One, I think it's the respectful thing to do. I want to treat you exactly the way I'd like to be treated. So I'll be very respectful, number one. Number two, I want to really truly know why you think it's east, because I'm going to listen carefully. I'm going to, and I quote St. Francis all the time, I seek to understand before I'm understood. I seek to understand before I'm understood. And by listening, I may realize, wait a minute, you know what, Glenn? I think that makes sense. Let's forget about my idea of West. Let's go East. Because as a truly good leader, I don't have any need to be right, Glenn. I'm really trying to do the right thing. And then third, because I really truly take the time to listen to you, and now I'm listening and realizing, boy, I actually think maybe that doesn't make sense, because I took the time to listen. Maybe, number three, you'll take the time to listen to me, and maybe I've got a chance of convincing you of my view, because I took the time to listen to you. And I think many, many times, Glenn, people just don't take the time to do it. And that ability to truly understand all sides of the story, to have a balanced perspective, that's what I think as Christians we're really called to do.
Talking with Harry Kramer about listening today. Do we have a society that makes it, we're almost trained to listen less? We're doing so much communication, not face to face, so much communication, not even over the phone. It's with texting or emails. And so we think it's more a matter of everyone is broadcasting their opinion as opposed to engaged in the back and forth of a conversation.
Absolutely right, Glenn. Absolutely right. And the other thing I think that often happens is that, we will get stories or we'll get information based on what we like to hear. You know, you'll hear often this idea of an echo chamber where, you know, I happen to view things from a far right perspective, and therefore I'm going to listen to everything that gives me that far right perspective. Or I've got a far left perspective, and all I'm going to listen to is that. And I think often sometimes, you know, the media can feed that, because if all I'm hearing is people who believe exactly what I believe, well, then I have very little understanding of why people believe something else. In fact, every time I think or I teach about this or I write about it, Glenn, I always try to have a little humor involved in it. Well, now, I'll give you a good example. You'll often hear, Glenn, people say, well, you know, Glenn, I just don't understand where you're coming from. And I often say to people, would you like to understand? Because if you like to understand, I'm happy to explain it to you. Because it's almost interesting, Glenn, when people say, I don't understand, it's almost like they really don't want to. But taking the time to understand all sides of the story. In fact, Glenn, when I first started teaching, after I stepped down as the chairman and CEO of Baxter Healthcare, I realized, wait a minute, I really do not have a need to be right. I really want to understand all sides of the story. And when I started teaching, I said, you really want to understand the other side. And one of these very bright students at Northwestern said, Harry, does that mean there's just the other side? Does that mean there's only two sides of the story? No, there's multiple sides of the story. And the beauty of it is, I'll take the time, I'll really understand all perspectives, and then I'll decide. Because just because I took the time to understand, I may decide I disagree with you, but I'm not going to be ignorant enough not to even understand why you believe what you believe.
When we talk about listening in terms of management, and you know, it's part of being the boss is that you get to make the call for better or worse. Talk about the need for someone to be confident enough in what they want to do to, you know, make that call when they need to, but not be afraid to listen. And even if you're not going to follow through with something someone's proposing, that idea of at least giving them your ear can build some goodwill that can lead to a better employee.
Yeah, Glenn, it's so right, because what I find very interesting is that think about how do you really define leadership? And often it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm the boss, and if I have the title, and I'm always explaining to executives at all levels, leadership has nothing to do with titles and organizational charts. I think leadership has everything to do with the ability to influence people. And the only way I know how to influence people is you have to be able to relate to people. So rather than having a complicated model, my leadership model is really three words. You can write them underneath one another. Leadership, influence, relate. If I can figure out, Glenn, a way to relate to you, maybe I can influence you and I can lead you. And that little model, leadership, influence, relate, becomes very important, Glenn, because sometimes people will say, well, wait a minute. I don't want to admit that I was wrong, because what's Glenn going to think of me if I'm not right? And I think to myself, wait a minute, leadership, influence, relate. How do you relate to somebody who knows everything? How do you relate to somebody, Glenn, who never makes a mistake? And by saying to you, hey, Glenn, you know what? I was wrong. What you have is a better answer to this question. I realize maybe you're going to say to yourself, you know, boy, I can relate to Harry. He's a human being. He admits when he's right and when he's wrong. And therefore, you know, I can influence you and lead you. It works the opposite of what most people think. And being comfortable enough in your skin to say, you know, I don't know the answer to that, Glenn. Yes, I'm the boss. I'm the leader. And by the way, as you correctly said, Glenn, I will make the final decision, okay? But I'm going to make a much better decision if I can say, Glenn, what do you think? Mary, what do you think? Debbie, what do you think? And then taking all of that into account, then I will make the final decision, because I'm the leader. But I'll always be willing to change my mind. I'll be willing to be vulnerable, because I think being vulnerable makes it easier for people to relate to people, to be able to influence people, and to lead people.
And again, that not being afraid to do that, is it that same principle of carrying speaking softly but carrying a big stick? I mean, as the boss, you get to make that final, and you need to make that final decision, but not flaunting that and saying, you know, reminding people all the time that basically you are the boss.
Yeah, and it really does come down, Glenn, to balance, because once in a while a manager will say to me, well, Harry, you know, I've got 10 people reporting to me. And Harry, if I take the time to listen to all 10 people of what they think, I'm not going to get a lot done. And I'm always reminding them, wait a minute, no, there's a balance here. You are the leader. You have to make the final decision. And rather than taking hours to do it, maybe you get the 10 people in a room and say, okay, here's the deal. In the next 15 minutes, I've got to make a decision. So if you've got an opinion on this topic, back up the truck, tell me what you think pretty quickly, and we'll move on. And the other interesting thing, Glenn, I always have a little fun with, you know, one leader said to me, well, Harry, you know, but I've got 20 years of experience, Harry, and nobody on my team, my 10 people now, none of them has more than 2 years of experience. So I'm a little worried if the majority of them, really want to go east, and I really truly believe the answer is west, you know, that may be, create a problem if the consensus doesn't want to do it. And what I always argue, Glenn, and I did this at Baxter, now I do it at Northwestern, I'll say, well, wait a minute. Two words, Glenn, I've never confused on leadership and democracy. And I tease and say, mm-hmm. If you want to run your team as a democracy, just have an odd number of people, right? 5 to 4, we can do it. 3 to 6, we can't do it. But wait a minute. If we're going to have a total democracy, well, then, Joe, then we're not going to need you. We can replace you with a vote counter, right? The whole reason we've got you is that it's sometimes all 10 people may want to go east in a very respectful way. You'll listen. As St. Francis said, you'll seek to understand before you're understood. And then you'll explain, you know what, gang? I know all of you want to go east. Here are the reasons, as the leader, I want to go west. And very interesting, Glenn, if you're one of those 10 people, I think you may say, you know what, Harry, listen to all of us. He takes the time to sit to understand. He's taking the time to understand why he's not going to go east, and he's going to go west. You know what? He's the leader. One of the things I feel very strongly about, Glenn, most people don't have the need to be right, but they do need to be respected, right? So if you're my boss, Glenn, and I suggest doing something, I don't expect to have my way, but I do expect you to say, hey, Harry, thanks for the input. Appreciate the input. I do understand your perspective. And Harry, here's why I'm not going to do that. Here's why I'm going to do something different. That's the balance. That's the balance. Just because, as you said, Glenn, just because I take the time to listen, I am the leader. I will make the final decision, but I'll do it in a very, very respectful way.
That need to really listen to one another, exploring that in a variety of angles with Harry Kramer. We continue more conversation coming up as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
As we play a little air guitar along with The Edge here as we continue. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio. Glenn in for John today. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up after the top of the hour, the man with all the answers, Patrick Madrid, will be along. And before that, too, another story corner for you today. We continue now our conversation with Harry Kramer, talking about the need to really listen to one another. Harry, it seems the past couple of years we've been into a season of protest, probably not since the late 60s, so many and so loud and so destructive. And part of that, not entirely, many bad actors going to bad ends to do what they want to do, all the way down to from causing a fuss to stealing things and looting and burning and wrecking. But part of that, at least maybe the spark for that, entire groups not feeling listened to. Is there anything about listening that can help us in that larger societal sense to get groups to play more nicely with one another?
I think so. I mean, I always like to keep things very, very simple, Glenn. And I think of how simple Jesus made it by saying really only two things you have to do, right? I mean, I keep it very, very simple. You know, love one another as he loved us, and love God above all. And when I think about if I'm truly going to love one another, I really, truly want to take the time to understand what people think. And where I think things have gone very, very bad, Glenn, is at one point in time, and I just use you and I. At one point in time, you know, you may have a view on a topic, and I may have a different view. And, you know, we can still be friendly. We can still treat one another in a very, very Christian way, but you have one view and I have another. And is there a way we can find some middle ground between the two? But I think over time, particularly with a lot of the media being very, very echo chamber where, you know, everything you listen to, Glenn, everything you listen to is completely consistent with the way you like to think of things. And everything I listen to is mine. Now, all of a sudden, we have very, very little in common, very little in common. And now, all of a sudden, rather than just having a disagreement, now you're bad. You're bad and I'm good. You know, you're evil and I'm good. OK, I'm right and you're wrong, to the point where I really now you're the enemy. You're the enemy. And if you think about some of these protests, you know, it's one thing people having a different view, but now I'm going to yell and scream at you. All right. Now I'm going to destroy your property. Now I may decide I'm going to shoot you. And in my mind, if we took the time to listen, if I may disagree, but if I understand why do you believe what you believe, why do you believe that? Maybe then I can start to understand, oh, that's why Glenn believes that. Well, wait a minute. Maybe here's some things I can teach him. Maybe there's some things I can show him in the New Testament. Maybe I can show him some examples of what if he turns his life differently and follows more something that Christ would like him to do. Can I start to convince him? But that only happens if I take the time to listen where you really truly feel like you're heard. And often, Glenn, in conversations, you know, it may sound like I'm listening, but then really the other person looks at him and says, he's not really, he's just taking a breath between them. He's not listening to anything I'm saying. And that ends up breeding an enormous difference between people. And we end up often where we are today. And I think things have become so polarized now in the United States that very, very, very few times do people even understand why somebody thinks something differently. And the answer in almost all cases, in my mind, is somewhere in between.
Harry, is that fear of wading into a debate with someone we perceive to be thinking differently than we do about something because we aren't confident enough in our own ideas and we're afraid that we might get our mind changed, or we just don't even want to bother to talk with someone that might think a little differently than us?
You know, Glenn, you always raise good questions. I think in a way it's a little bit of both. There's this feeling of, well, I have to know the answer. I can't admit to Glenn that I don't know. But it's fascinating to me that if you say to me, Harry, here's a question for you, and if I say, hey, you know what, Glenn, I don't know, but you know what, I'm not complacent, I'll take the time, I'll try to come up with the answer. What's very interesting is I actually think instead of you worrying, instead of me worrying, he's not going to think highly of me, I really do believe, I go back to leadership influence relate, most people do not believe, expect you to know everything. And to be able to say, I'm not sure, but I'll take the time. And this whole view of, hey, you know what? I'm so set in my ways, I don't even want to understand why somebody believes something different. Because I really do believe, you know, we can learn something every day. We can learn something every day. And I think the way we may be able to bring people closer to Christ is to demonstrate the fact that we'll listen to them. And then gradually, if we think we've got a better answer, we'll gradually bring them to the right answer. You don't bring anybody by forcing somebody or acting like somebody's an idiot or doesn't matter or whatever. So, and that's one of the reasons we have what we have in this country often, and you know why we have wars. Take the time to really understand the perspective of others.
Harry, you mentioned a minute ago, keeping it simple, boiling it down the same way Christ boiled it down when asked about the greatest commandment is to love God and then to love our neighbor, keeping it that simple. If we look at an interaction with another, especially one we might sense a disagreement with, as we really believe what we believe is the best for ourselves and for them too, if we love the other enough to want to persuade them, and that's the reason for our interaction, it's not to defeat them in a battle of wits or words or, you know, on the street or smash their store. But if we love them and think it's for their best that they see things the way we see things, is that not a much better way to go about it than always looking like everything is a win or lose situation?
Absolutely agree. Because if once you get out of this win-lose, and it's, Glenn, I really respect you. I really love you. I really want to understand, why do you believe that? Okay, Glenn, yes. Now, here's a couple thoughts for you, Glenn. Have you thought about this? Is this something, let me try to get you to think about this. I really do believe, because I took the time to listen to you, that you may take the time to listen to me. You know, I mean, and I mean, Glenn, on any issue, okay? I mean, if I think about something like abortion, okay, and you and I know that it's murder, you and I know we're taking the life of somebody, but rather than not taking the time to listen to your comment and saying, oh, well, you know, I just don't think after conception that really is a person, to literally listen and then to start to say, well, you know, that's interesting, but you know what? After conception, maybe the only difference between that and us is 9 months, is 8 months, is 7 months. And I want you to think about that. And I've seen people say, you know, I didn't think about it that way. And yes, if I just don't stop the process, I could actually turn out to really have a big impact. And I think we could actually bring people to a better decision by doing that.
Harry, in teaching young people, as part of teaching them management skills in training, what's, as we just have roughly a minute and a half or so left here, a couple really main points you'd like to leave them and all of us with about being better listeners?
What I try to do in my classes and in my talks, Glenn, when I talk to different groups or companies, associations, is I literally say, you know what, if we really want to make a difference, if we really want to make a difference, we have to realize we have a perspective, but we're called to have even a richer perspective by taking the time to listen to people. And the only way I can possibly lead other people is I have to be able to lead myself, which is why I believe the importance of being self-reflective and prayerful, of taking some time, Glenn, turning off the noise, getting off by yourself, maybe listening to relevant radio, and asking those questions. What are my values? What's my purpose? What matters? Is this all about just me having the need to be right? Or do I want to do the right thing? Can I park my ego at the side? Am I willing to admit, I don't know, Glenn, but I'll try to find out? Or, Glenn, you know what? I was wrong. You're raising. And if I'm willing to do that, I can develop more true self-confidence. And I think I can make a better difference in the world, consistent with what Jesus is calling me to do.
Harry Kramer, always a pleasure. We'd love to be able to listen more, but time is the enemy, as our friend Drew Mariani likes to say. But thanks so much, Harry. Look forward to a chat again real soon. Morning Air continues now with today's Story Corner. Our story today, 8 contributors to peace of mind. Duke University did a study on peace of mind and found these factors to contribute greatly to emotional and mental stability. Number 1, the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nursing a grudge was a major factor in unhappiness. Number 2, not living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures could lead to depression. Number 3, not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. Number 4, force yourself to stay involved with the living world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during periods of emotional stress. Number 5 and 8 contributors to peace of mind, refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow and misfortune. Number 6, cultivate old-fashioned virtues like love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. Number 7, do not expect too much of yourself when there's too wide a gap between self-expectation and your ability to meet the goals you've set. Feelings of inadequacy are inevitable. And finally, number 8, find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people score lowest on any test for measuring happiness. From John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's our story today. Thanks for joining us. You can access that story again if you like on the Relevant Radio app or online at relevantradio.com, and send your suggestions, a story you found or maybe even written, to morningair@relevantradio.com. Thanks for joining us today. The good things continue. The man with all the answers is coming up next. Patrick Madrid on the way as we continue. It's up after the news next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.